So as Bridges chose that Romans 6:11 to be his key verse here, see that that verse has two parts to it, and I think that's what he's keying in on a lot in this particular chapter. A lot of us think our battle with sin is just what do we say no to, that we just resist. But it's not just about resisting. It's also about what we, as Romans says, come alive to. So there's a two-part encouragement here. One is that we are to consider ourselves dead to sin, but it doesn't stop there. We also must realize that we are alive to Christ and consider what that means for us. And so as Bridges writes, Jesus came into the world, took our place under God's divine wrath, died to sin so we can, through our union with Him, die to sin also. Now we are freed from sin's reign. We are no longer its slaves. We are to count on this fact and resist sin so that it does not reign in our mortal bodies. So we resist sin, but as we review chapters 5 and 6 last Wednesday night, we understand that sometimes we can feel defeated or useless really in our battle, because we understand that, well, if I'm dead to sin, why does it still haunt me so much? If I'm dead to sin, if Christ has died to sin, and now I'm joined together with Him, then why do I have to fight it constantly? Why is it a continual battle with me? And as I said in the opening statements there, we focus so much on being dead to sin that we lose sight of the fact that we have to also consider ourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what does it mean to be alive to Christ? It means, number one, that we are united to Him in all of His power. Christianity is not a DIY type adventure. We like to think of it as being a do-it-yourself, but Christianity is not a DIY. Christianity is always in conjunction with the Spirit's power, the Spirit's enabling power. And we receive that power because we have now been, what, as Scripture describes it, united to Christ, or in union with Him. We are in union with Christ because He has given to us His Spirit. And that Spirit binds us and ties us together with Him for all out eternity. That's what Scripture tells us. And so as we are bound to Christ now, we are considered that we feed off of His energy, we feed off of His strength, we feed off of His wisdom. We are connected to Him through that Spirit for wisdom, for love, for the outpouring of the spiritual energy that we need to battle sin in our lives. Philippians 4, a very familiar passage here, especially the last verse of 11 through 13. Paul writes to Philippi, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." And then the famous verse here that you see written under athletes' eyes and tattooed on their arms and in many other places. Paul says, "I can do all things through Him," that Him is Christ, "who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. You've seen that everywhere. That's one of those verses that people use sometimes out of context, sometimes in situations other than how Paul originally intended it to be used. But the key there is Paul was saying, I've learned to be content. I have the power now to be content in no matter what circumstance I'm in. If I have plenty, I'm content with plenty. I'm not overcome with greed, desiring more. If I have less, I've learned to be content with what God has seen fit to give me. And I am satisfied with that. Again, I don't go and desire more. I am satisfied within whatever situation God puts me in, because I know that He loves me, because I know that He is fighting for me and with me. And so He can be content in any and every situation because it is Christ who strengthens him. And so Paul there is confessing to the church in Philippi, he's confessing to all of us now who still read these words, that it is Christ who strengthens him so that he can live a life of contentment. But he said that he's learned to do that. So learning means that there is an action involved. Learning means that there has been some give and take on the part of Paul. There's been some effort put in by Paul, that he has learned now that he can be content. And he's learned because Christ is working through him to strengthen him and to help him in that battle. He can be this way, as I said, because he's empowered by Christ. And again, holiness, as you read this book, those of you who purchased it, or as you listen to these lessons on Wednesday nights, as you encounter your personal pursuit of holiness, never see your personal pursuit of holiness as a list of do's and don'ts. And that's where a lot of people get defeated before they even get started, because they see purity as the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. You see this big stone tablet in your mind, and as long as I do this and don't do that, then I'm going to be following my personal pursuit of holiness. And that's not how you do it. That's, you set out to fail if you say, I'm just going to resist, or I'm just going to do. How we succeed in our pursuit of holiness is by allowing ourselves, or surrendering, I should say, to that Spirit that Christ gives to us, to being obedient to the voice of that Spirit, and surrendering to that call of Christ and allowing Him to transform us more and more into His image each day. So it's not just the things that I'm going to stay away from, it's not just the things that I'm going to do, but it's allowing the Spirit's reign in my life so that I can be transformed by the power of Christ through that imparted Spirit, so that each day I learn, as Paul says, to die to that sin, but to live to Christ. To be open to Christ, to feed off of Him. What does it mean to feed off of Him? It means that we continue to remember the work of Christ on the cross and all that He accomplished for us. It means to continue to remember that He is that source of strength, He is that source of power, that source of wisdom for us. It means that we as His people now have an advocate, someone who is fighting for us and with us. But the key, as Paul reminds us here in that passage from Philippians, we have to learn that. We have to learn that. There's an action on our part that we need to pursue Christ in order to pursue holiness. And let me repeat that. We need to pursue Christ so that we can pursue holiness. Now, when I say pursue Christ, it's not like He's running out there ahead of us and we're trying to catch up to Him so we can get some of His power. Pursuing Christ means that each day we want to know more about Him. Each day we want to invite His presence and His penetrating Spirit into our lives. Each day we want to be shaped more and more into His character. Each day we want to become more and more surrendered to His will, so that by being obedient and being surrendered to that, to His will, obediently surrendered to His will, I should say, that we are transformed. We are transformed. So how are we transformed? Ephesians again, 3, that according to the riches of His glory, He, Christ, may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, and do it far more abundantly than we can even ask or think. And do it far more abundantly than we can even ask or think. We can limit the effect of Christ's Spirit within our lives by limiting how we access that. The world is being driven to find an abundant source of energy that's not coming up out of the ground. And so if someone were to one day devise some energy source that would power all that we need to be powered, then that person would gain for them a lot of money. But no matter the strength of the power source, if you don't access it, it can be the strongest power source in the world, but it still has to be accessed for you to gain from it. And Paul is painting a picture of a limitless power source in Christ, but he's also reminding us that we have not learned to access it the way that Christ wants us to access the power that he's offering to us. One of the things in Scripture that Scripture reminds us of is that there's no temptation known to man but what God has given us an escape from. I'm paraphrasing there. But what happens when we are under that temptation? Do we listen to the Spirit's voice and say, this is not where you need to be, this is wrong for you? Pray to God and ask for an escape. Pray to God and ask for the strength that you need to subdue this temptation that's in you. No, because the temptation, as we've talked about in verses 5 and 6, that temptation comes out of our own desires. That temptation comes from a very strong place. It comes from a way of life that has a very strong grip upon us. We gave you the illustration about the old slave plantations and how they had grown up into that way of life. Once they were emancipated, some of them didn't know how to live freely because all that they had known was slavery. And in that same way, we too, growing up in sin or being so close to it, having it reign so aboundingly in our lives, that pull is so strong that it's hard to stop when that desire comes. And sometimes after that desire is fulfilled in actions, we stop and pause for a second and say, why couldn't I stop that? You know, why couldn't I have paused there? Why did I have to fulfill that desire? That is the strength of that pull. And that is one of the things that we fail to do. Even though that there is a promise of escape, there's power for escape, but it's not accessed. It can do far more abundantly. Ephesians 3 again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Now to him, Christ, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think, according to the power within us. There's power for the mission there. There's power to say no. There's power to grow more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. There's spiritual energy there that all of us need to overcome the stuff in our life that is hindering our spiritual growth. But as Paul says, we have to learn. We have to learn how to use it. We have to learn how to access it in a way that power then comes to us. That power then becomes stronger than the desires that are in us. And it can. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. Perfection is not going to come. But you can, over time, learn how to overcome sin more than you surrender to it. And that's what these scriptures are encouraging us to do, is to learn how to overcome sin more than you surrender to it. But it's a learning process. It's a battle. It is a Christ teaching us. We're receiving that teaching. One thing that we got to remember is that in God's training system, it requires us to battle against evil that's in our lives. You ever heard preachers or somebody else say, be careful when you pray for patience? You ever heard that? Why do they say that? Because when you pray for patience, almost immediately the things come into your lives that require you to use patience. Okay? And none of us want to use patience. We desire it, but we don't want to use it. God's training system is to allow the things that we need to overcome to be there, and that for the battle to go on, and that through that battle, through that training of learning that the power to overcome those things is within us, and it is abundantly strong enough. But we have to learn how to channel it, how to use it. We have to learn to be that man like Paul who said, I have learned how to be content. It didn't just come to him. He said, I've learned how to be content. Which implies to me that at one time in his life, he wasn't content in any and every circumstance. Certainly his pre-Christian days would let you know that he was very fiery, that he was desirous to cleanse the world of these upstart Christians who dared to transgress what he considered to be a holy and sacred religion. And so he went out and did something about it. He wasn't a man to sit idly by. And so it seemed to be in his personality that he wasn't a person who was given to be a very patient individual. But he said, now I've learned contentment. How did he learn contentment? What's one of the things that he talked about? The thorn in the flesh. If you remember that, he prayed what? 3 times that God would remove it. God, if you removed, I don't know how he prayed, but God, if you remove this thing, I could be a much more effective minister for you. Have you prayed something like that in your life? Whatever this thing is, Father, if you just take it away from me, I could be much more better in all that I do. Everything that I try will be much easier, Father, if this is just out of my life. If you just take care of this thing, whatever it is. I can talk better, I can sleep better, I'm stronger, I've got more energy, I've got all of these things that TV says I need to have if I can just buy this $19.99 product. And it'll be delivered to your home plus shipping and handling within 4 to 6 weeks. But what we want to have, what we want to have is perfection. And God is saying you don't need perfection, you need me. And that's what he told Paul. Paul, you don't need perfection. You need my grace. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. What Christ was telling Paul is that, Paul, you have to go battle. You have to go battle. And it's in that battle that you find me. It's in that battle that you find the grace that you need to continue to battle. It's in that battle that you find the strength that you need to continue that fight against sin. It's in that battle that you find that contentment that you need to have. Where my grace, my presence within you is sufficient to empower anything that I ask you to do. It is God's desire that we battle. But what God has done is that he's removed us from the reign and the realm of sin. And he's placed us under the reign and the realm of the Son. He's given us his Spirit to empower us, to enlighten us, to give us the spiritual energy that we need to continue to fight, to continue to grow, to continue to be transformed. So he says, I want you to fight, but I'm going to fight with you. I want you to overcome this sin, and I'm going to give you the power to overcome it. But to learn how to overcome it, you have to battle it. You have to fight it. It's something that's in your life. Somebody help me. The Disney movie where the little robot was left on the planet by himself. And, you know, he was cleaning up the planet. Mary Grace, help me there.
Wally.
Wally, thank you. fellow nerds over there. And that movie Wall-E, you know, the humans the robots are doing everything for them. You know, they've been taken off, and they put on a giant ship, and the robots do everything. You know, the humans are just, they cart it around in motorized conveyances, and they're fed, and all of them, you know, look like me. And so they're just all in this spaceship. And so they've, in what was supposed to be a well-intentioned, we're going to take care of you, they took away the strength. They took away the conviction. They took away the desire to overcome because everything was given to them. And so that's a message in that Disney movie, okay? It's a message in Scripture. It's a message in what these verses are telling us here, that we can get discouraged because we try to overcome sin and we fail again. But God is wanting us to know that it is in that battle, it is in that failure that we find Him. It's in that failure that we find strength. It's in that failure that we find wisdom. It's in that failure that we find the one who has overcome sin. Jerry Bridges writes again, "Only as we reckon on these twin facts, that I'm dead to sin and its reign over me, and that I am alive to God, united to Him who strengthens me, can I keep sin from reigning in my mortal body." And then Lloyd Jones, he throws in a quote from him, "I lose my sense of hopelessness, which we have all known and felt, because of the terrible power of sin in our lives, because I am now under the dominion of another power that nothing can frustrate." Let me read that a little more slowly for you. "I lose my sense of hopelessness." So his hopelessness is lost, which we've all known and felt, because that power of sin is stronger than our power to resist it. And he says that hopelessness that I have felt because I failed over and over and over again to defeat this sin that's in my life. He says, "I lose that hopelessness because I'm now under the dominion of another power that nothing can frustrate." Nothing can frustrate the power of God within us. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can overcome it. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. John 1. The light, Jesus Christ, shined in the darkness of men's hearts. And the darkness of men's hearts could not overcome the light of Christ that had come into the world. But where is that light of Christ? The light of Christ is in the hearts of His people. The light of Christ is in the hearts of the church, to be shared, to be used, to be held out in front of the world in love and in surrender to the will of that light. That no matter where we go, that people can see that light within us. And that light powers us. That light gives us the spiritual energy that we need to have. But we must form the habits. Remember we talked about habits, you know, I got bad habits. We can have good habits. And in our pursuit of holiness, we have to form good habits. We have to form the habit of continually realizing that sin has no power over me, and that I am now alive to Christ. That's what Scripture says. And so do we believe Scripture or not? "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Two parts. Dead to sin, but alive to God. It's kind of the first half of the chapter. I'll cover the second half of the chapter next week. But as you go out and pursue your holiness in this coming week, we're dead to sin. but we're alive to God. Alive to God means that we look to Him as our source of strength, our source of illumination, our source of spiritual energy. We must form the good habits of continuing to be more and more like Christ. We don't overcome sin by saying no. We overcome sin by allowing ourselves to be transformed more and more into Christ. The victory is in the battle. The victory is in the battle. Because it is in the battle where we find the power of Christ to continue to strengthen us for that battle. It is in the battle where we find the victory, because our only victory is knowing Christ more and more and more. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you for the wisdom, the power, the grace that you give all of us to live each day more and more for you and less attracted to the sin that surrounds us, that flows through us. Father, may we be empowered to form the good habits that we need. May we also not be discouraged when it seems like every day is just a daily battle against the stuff that's in our life, the stuff that surrounds us, the stuff that the world throws at us, the stuff that we throw at ourselves. May we not be discouraged, but may we find hope in knowing that there is a power within us that sin cannot frustrate. May we remember those words. But more, Father, may we remember your word that we are dead to sin. It has no more power over us. But we must learn to be alive to the power that you give to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray that you walk home with these folks tonight, rest them well, prepare them for their days tomorrow, and that all these things become before you in Christ's name. Amen.